Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. I'm Jason Powell here with a review of the WWE Raw show that aired on Thursday, November 19, 2015. The show was taped a couple of days earlier in Knoxville, Tennessee. It was the final edition of SmackDown or any WWE television, really. Well, at least that matters. Heading into the Survivor Series pay-per-view, which takes place on Sunday, just want to give you a quick heads up that I will have live coverage for you on Sunday night at ProWrestling.net. So if you are looking for coverage while you watch a football game or Walking Dead or something like that, you just want the quick updates, they will be there for you. Or if you're watching the actual show and you're looking for some commentary on the show, we don't just do a rundown of the event. I add live commentary as the show takes place, and so look for that on Sunday night. Hayden Gleed is likely to be doing the kickoff show coverage this time around because I will be hopefully watching the end of the Packers and Vikings game. I'm a Viking fan, and they're playing their biggest rival for first place, and so hopefully, if Hayden's internet issue is resolved by then, he'll be doing the coverage. Otherwise, I promise you, the world's worst Survivor Series kickoff show coverage, at least until the game ends, and usually it ends before the actual kickoff show match. But hey, I've covered football before I've actually covered wrestling before during football. This one is a little tougher because it's the two big rivals, but by the time the kickoff show goes off the air, the game will be over, hopefully, and you'll have good, full attention coverage of the Survivor Series event from me coming up on Sunday night, and then Jake Barnett and I will get together as we do after WWE pay-per-view events and run through the Survivor Series exclusively for .NET members. I'll give you more details on membership a little bit later, but I want to get into this SmackDown show. They opened with a graphic acknowledging the death of Nick Bockwinkel, and we had the broadcast team of Rich Brennan, Booker T, and Jerry Lawler, and then we got it was time for Miz TV, and the bit here was that Miz wanted to do introductions, but every time he would try, he was interrupted. First, it was Kevin Owens, and he talked about how it's the Kevin Owens show, and he'll be the man after Survivor Series. Then it was time for Alberto Del Rio to interrupt Miz. He and Zeb Coulter did a little bit, really wasn't much to it, other than Coulter saying that Owens is Canadian and questioning how he got across the border. And then we ended up with Dean Ambrose interrupting and Miz scolding him. He said that Del Rio and Owens are ready to fight, and fighting equals ratings. And then Ambrose did a little bit of a shtick, just talking about how he can take a beating like anyone in the industry. And he said that Ambrose told Owens to take his best shot. Roman Reigns made his entrance through the crowd. Miz even more upset that he didn't get to introduce anyone. And we got what sure sounded like a really hokey pop. By that I mean the crowd, it didn't seem like the biggest crowd. SmackDown crowds usually aren't. But you can, you know, hey, there were times last night where the volume of the pops matched what you were seeing on TV, or the boos, or the chants. And then there were times like this where you're seeing a lot of people sitting down. And yeah, there's some standing up, and especially where Reigns is making his entrance. But you got this mega pop. I think there was a little bit of canned heat there used throughout this show. There were several times where I'm like, wait a minute, that doesn't match what I'm seeing with my own eyes, looking at not the entire crowd, but a good portion of them. So Reigns ends up talking briefly. And then we get R-Truth making his entrance and talking about how he's the underdog. He's going to go through all four men and become the new champion. Miz points out that he's not even in the tournament. And then Truth ended up saying, my bad. And he wished Ambrose and Reigns good luck, but he wouldn't shake hands or wish luck to the heels. And then Miz was blowing up again because things weren't going his way. Reigns told him to chill out. Long story short, Ambrose ends up punching out Miz. And the heels leave the ring, and Ambrose and Reigns are still in there. And the broadcast team is just laughing over what happened to Miz. Huge letdown segment in that this is Survivor Series. You have four men in the tournament. There was really, I mean, R-Truth interrupting to do a bit that he's done before. I mean, there's times when that bit where he forgets that he's not in certain things, I can see where some find that entertaining, but this isn't the time to be cute. WWE has a tournament for their vacant World Heavyweight Championship coming up on Sunday, a pay-per-view event they've promoted pretty poorly ever since Seth Rollins was injured, and they have the interesting scenario of the possibility of Reigns facing Ambrose in the finals of this, and I really thought That's why they're doing Miz TV, is Miz can play the role of the instigator. You know, he can kind of stir the pot and try to get these guys worked up. And you don't have to, you know, they don't have to come to blows or anything like that, but there's a little something you could do here. No, they couldn't be bothered. Hey, let's go the comedic route instead. I didn't like this. I didn't think it served any real purpose other than reminding people of who are in the tournament. I mean, there's just no seeds planted here for a potential Reigns and Ambrose finals, which is, I don't know if that's a sign that they don't intend to go there, and that's why they've really gone light. I mean, we did get a little bit later in the show, but not much. Or if it's, I honestly don't know if it's just a sign that they've really dropped the ball when it comes to promoting their own event. I think because of the tournament final, the tournament format, you should at least tease the possibility. I mean, hey, in the final four, if there's two, you know, if there's a two number one seeds and then a couple of number eights, they're still going to talk to, let's say both, there's two unbeaten number one seeds. There's no guarantee they're going to make it to the finals, but you can bet your ass that the broadcast teams would be talking about the possibility of it coming down to two unbeaten number one seeds. It doesn't mean they're swerved. You know, yes, wrestling is different. It's scripted. But still, I think you can safely tease the possibility of these two more consistently than WWE did, and that's the most attractive match in this tournament. And so even if you don't plan to give it to them, give it to the fans, then I still think you can safely tease it without going overboard and beating people over the head with it and making it seem like it's a foregone conclusion. Even then you could. It's a tournament. You know, there's winners and losers, and you can even say, hey, upsets happen. So it's just very strange creative decisions from WWE over the last several weeks when it comes to the way they've handled this tournament so far. Miz was still in the ring. He didn't think he should have to. He was disrespected and outraged. He wanted his match canceled. This led to Cesaro beating him in about 50 seconds with a crossface. Nothing to it. Just get, I guess, Cesaro on the show. Even though Cesaro is a guy that currently, as I record this, is not scheduled for anything at Survivor Series, nor is Miz. Doesn't mean they can't add them. There's a random elimination match that I thought we might find out details on SmackDown. No. They're just having a 5-on-5 Survivor Series elimination match that they may or may not tell us beforehand who is in that traditional Survivor Series match, but they did not tell us on SmackDown. After the match, Stardust and Ascension come out. They have a brief stare down with Cesaro. I don't know where this is going, and I can't, it's not, and I don't mean that in a I'm really intrigued kind of way. It's just they keep having moments with Cesaro. I mean, I assume it's going to be Cesaro going against them sooner or later, maybe even as soon as Survivor Series if they want to play it out, but I don't sense there's, like, real anticipation to find out where this, Cesaro has his section, and so now Stardust has his. I mean, to me, that they're building, they're giving this extra attention. I mean, these guys sitting in the crowd, it's not like they're spending a ton of time focusing on it, but really, it feels like more of a throwaway Raw or SmackDown match than anything. And I don't know that what they've done so far is enough to raise the stakes. Hopefully, they can do something with it, but I'm not feeling this one either. Second match of the night came after a commercial break, and it was the Dudleys and Neville beating Stardust in the Ascension in 9 minutes. The Dudleys ended up hitting 3D on Victor, the designated jobber of the Ascension, to get the win. No surprise there as far as the outcome is concerned. No surprise as far as who was pinned. But they filled 9 minutes of television time. Neville looked good. The Dudleys looked fine. And you're featuring six guys who, by the time the show went off the air and as of this recording, are not even advertised for the SmackDown show. We got the broadcast team talking about Undertaker's anniversary at Survivor Series, and we got a video package on Taker and Kane against the Wyatt family. And then they did hype that the Survivor Series, the big question of which two members of the Wyatt family will face Taker and Kane. Who cares? I mean, I assume it's Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman. There really hasn't been any clear indication given there. I don't know. I honestly don't care. I don't know if they're being creative. And my God, Kane's a member of the Wyatt family, and that's why it was any two members. I don't think that's happening, but I just don't know why they haven't come out and said it. I don't think people are sitting around going, man, what if it's Wyatt and Eric Rowan, or what if it's Luke Harper and Braun Strowman? I just don't think anyone's sitting around like speculating of, man, what formula should Bray Wyatt use for this? Can Taker and Kane possibly go up against these two members of the Wyatts? They're all kind of interchangeable. I mean, Strowman's the guy they've given the big push to in terms of just kind of keeping him protected to some stamp, to some degree. And then you have Harper and Rowan, who have just been treated like scrubs lately. And so, I mean, that's why I just kind of assume it's Wyatt, but Wyatt and Strowman, but I don't know. Then we get Tyler Breeze and Summer Rae making their entrance, and we get after commercial break, we got a little mic work from Tyler, who talked about how Zack Ryder's wardrobe is looks 1980 never, and then he said Summer dumped Dolph Ziggler because she wanted an upgrade, and he said he never goes out of style, and Ziggler will do what he always does, come up short, and that was Summer saying that, and it was kind of a. I think she, if I remember right, she did her index finger and thumb thing to signify that one way or another, whether it was that or just in general, the idea was that Summer thinks Dolph has a small dick. This did not sit well with Dolph Ziggler at all, apparently, because even though Tyler Breeze beat Zack Ryder in 1:15, he did, by the way, he did not use Christian's unprettier kill switch, whatever you want to call it, instead of the beauty shot. I don't mind the beauty shot, but I've heard from enough people now that just don't like it. They think it's kind of a soft finisher. They're just like, eh, okay, I worked fine for me. I just think a finisher is what you make it. You know, you can. I mean, as I wrote to somebody on Twitter last night that felt this way. It's like they kind of pointed out some people that have used the move in the past, and with all due respect to that person, it's just like. Yeah, but the DDT was once a great finisher, and it was ruined. You know, I mean, because it became just another move that guys used mid-match, and it's kind of the reverse of this. But it's like you can make whatever you want feel important. I mean, there's some exceptions. I wouldn't want to see, my God, John Cena's headlock of doom. But I mean, still, I this one didn't bother me. But again, if I'm in the minority on this one, so be it. But Dolph Ziggler, he ended up coming out before the match and sitting in the VIP section, and then he apparently was still not happy about being told that he had a small winky because he ended up catching Breeze with a super kick after the match. So you can say a lot of things about Dolph Ziggler, but you better not insult his small dick. The broadcast team then hyped up the recap of Raw of the Divas Revulsion, as they're calling it. Wow. And then we got a commercial break. When we came back, we got the Hobbit Druids making their entrance, and then the Wyatt family followed. And we got a ridiculously loud and phony sounding boo for the Wyatt family. It was like, wow. So it's not just Roman Reigns. If you're thinking earlier, like, oh yeah, they're piping in noise for Roman. No, they were doing this throughout the show for different people. The fans did start kind of a half-ass Undertaker chant, but it ended once Bray Wyatt started talking. It was the usual Bray Wyatt stuff that we've heard from him lately about how he still owns pieces of Taker and Kane, and maybe he still owns all of Kane, and that's again, that's the big mystery of which two will it be that no one cares about. Maybe it's a swerve. I know I'm probably reaching here, but just throwing it out there's a possibility. But he ended up trying to play up that whole possibility of which two it will be. No one cares. Undertaker appears on the big screen after his full entrance music played. So that poor live crowd, you know, they get the Undertaker's pyros going off, the whole light show, all of that. You're like, oh my God, we're gonna see Undertaker, and yes, you are on the big screen. And he and Kane were both there, and well, eventually Taker started talking about how Wyatt thinks he has all the cards, but he has a dead man's hand. Aces and Eights is going to be with Taker? No. Taker said that perilous times will come and the Brothers of Destruction will claim what belongs to them. Their souls? I don't. Are we still fighting about that? I guess if you lose your soul, you're going to keep fighting for it. Maybe. I don't know how that works. Hopefully, I haven't lost mine. I haven't, as far as I know. Kane was shown holding a burning sheet mask. And then Taker said that ashes to ashes. Dust to dust, I assume. Maybe I forgot that in my live coverage. Ash to ash as they all fall down, and they will rest in peace. Someone scripted that. So then the Druids. When Taker said that, the Druids were down and out at ringside. They're just, I'm like, oh, okay. So Taker has complete control over the Druids again, to the point that apparently, I don't know if he could kill them. Did they like have to? I wish we would have had a correspondent at the taping, because I would have loved to have known what they did with the Druids. Do they have to pause the show and bring out like just a cart of bodies and just hurl them all on top of one another and then just kind of bring them to the back? Did they have like a mass burial for the Druids? I don't know if Druids are mystical creatures. Did they just disappear? Did they have to roll under the ring when the lights went out and stay there the rest of the night? Not for like a good game of poker. They had several druids. So, I mean, they could have easily killed time under their playing some Texas Hold'em or something. But I don't know how they handled it. If anyone knows, I am curious. Normally I tell you I don't care. In this case, I am curious to know what they did with the apparently dead druids at ringside. There was a rest in peace chant here. It sounded kind of hokey to me. I can't tell you for sure that the crowd wasn't chanting it, but it sounded pretty fake to me. And then if you thought that, like, the negative reaction that WWE got regarding the page line on Ric Flair, it might cause them to reconsider or just go, okay, we don't need to apologize publicly. We'll handle it internally, but we're not going to replay this. You know, we realize we made a mistake. Maybe Charlotte did sign off on it, but maybe she did so because, like Ric Flair said in his own podcast, she doesn't feel like she, you know, can say no to anything at this point in her career, and who can blame her? But Rick was uncomfortable with it. Rick's wife, Beth, ex-wife Beth, was uncomfortable with it. Let's not go there anymore. Oh, no, 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 no. As if you didn't pick up on that earlier, the whole Divas Revulsion line. Oh, they were happy to play this again. That's right. They actually replayed Paige's comments regarding Ric Flair from Raw and then footage of the brawl that followed. Pretty pathetic. It's bad enough they did it the first time. For them to just stubbornly stick with it the second time, I just scratch my head. Like, really, what is wrong with you people? Fourth match. Well, I shouldn't even say that because I don't want to come down on the entire company. What is wrong with Vince McMahon that he thinks this is acceptable? Because, I mean, he's the guy making the call on this, obviously. Fourth match of the night was Charlotte beating Brie Bella with the figure eight. She won the match in about 4 minutes and 20 seconds. From there, we had Renee Young asking Paige whether she's concerned that she pushed Charlotte too far with her comment on Monday. Paige said the way Charlotte acted was immature, and she said there's no line when it comes to winning back her title because that's what a true champion does. Stop. And nothing against her. I don't know how she feels about this, for all I know. She is completely repulsed by having to say the line. Or maybe she does, you know, maybe she feels the other way. Like, hey, it's fair game. I don't know. So I'm not even coming down on Paige, you know. Or it's until people speak publicly with their true feelings on the matter, there's not much I'm going to say about it. And even if they're, you know, if I'm guessing this will come up eventually. Paige does a lot of media for them. Although it's worth noting that there was, I believe it was a Charlotte media round that was scheduled for this week that they mysteriously canceled. They didn't cite this as the reason, of course, but very interesting that that was canceled. But somebody will bring this up eventually to them, and I'm curious to see how they say it. I mean, that's the key. It's not so much what they say. It's like, okay, can you read between the lines on this and figure out that, yeah, maybe they're not so fond of it, but they feel like they better toe the company line on this one. And I'm like, but we'll see. New Day came out. They mocked Kalisto's height. Xavier Woods wore a bad mask while impersonating him. And then Big E said that he would show that size does matter. So I think we should just get back to this Little Dick Dolph Ziggler against apparently Big Cock Big E match. Or, you know, that's a feud. They can have the feud over the different dick sizes or something. I don't know if they're... So we had one guy claiming that he has a big one, and we had another guy being insulted by his apparently ex-girlfriend, or not really girlfriend, just whatever Summer Rae was to Dolph Ziggler, saying he has a small dick. It was dick night in WWE. But Big E ended up beating Kalisto in 120, so if you thought, like, my God, they're going to do something with Kalisto coming out of this tournament, not so much. Kalisto did have both guys, Woods and Kingston, knocked down at ringside, and then, so there was like a distraction, and Big E caught him with a clothesline and a splash for the win. Then he did another splash, and that's when Ryback ran out to make the save, and ended up getting the better of all three members of New Day, and the broadcast team pointed out that as he helped up Kalisto, that an act of good sportsmanship by Ryback, considering that Kalisto's the guy who beat him in the title tournament. Then we ended up with, it's bad enough they do it on Raw, they do it on SmackDown too, it's just like a replay, just with different broadcast team members of the flashcard skit that JBL and Jerry Lawler do on Raw. Yeah, the SmackDown guys have to do it as well. So they will sell you on the network, and it's cheaper than pay-per-view, but when it comes to promoting their actual pay-per-view event, I think of the four matches, am I forgetting any? I guess of the five matches we'd seen thus far, only one of them featured, there were two people in these matches that are actually advertised for the Survivor Series. And I'm sure more will appear. But Charlotte and... is that it? Oh, and Tyler Breeze. Those were the two that are actually advertised for the Survivor Series show. We know that Tyler... we found out that Tyler would face Dolph Ziggler on the show. A match I'm looking forward to. I think that could be a lot of fun. I don't know how much time they'll be given, but I think it can be a fun match. From there, we got the very smallish Maria Menounos. That's right, Maria Menounos is back just to interview Paige and Miz about their Christmas movie. And Paige said she's a star and has more important things to worry about and stormed off. So, and then leaving Miz to kind of sit there and kind of act like the professional one, which kind of goes against his character, I'm not sure. It was at this point where they announced that Little Dick Dolph Ziggler will face Tyler Breeze at Survivor Series. And then we finally got a little bit of an exchange between Reigns and Ambrose about Survivor Series. They were backstage, and Reigns acknowledged that it could be the two of them meeting in the final. Reigns said if they get there, he has to treat Ambrose like everybody else. And Ambrose said he expects nothing else. Ambrose said Reigns does what he does, and he does what he does. And Reigns said if their paths cross, then they will jump off that bridge together, and they bump fists. So not exactly compelling stuff here. It's just nice that they actually finally got around to acknowledging that, hey, these two longtime friends that have, you know, stuck together even through the Shield breaking up when Seth Rollins did what he did, they could actually be wrestling one another for the first time. Finally. But it wasn't. They picked probably the most, just the lamest way. I mean, no tease, tension, nothing. It's just, here it is. Then we ended up with Kevin Owens being introduced from the main event. They went to commercial, and we got the rest of the introductions, and it was Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose fighting Kevin Owens and Alberto Del Rio to an apparent double countout. I don't think they ended up announcing anything, but Owens caught Reigns with a super kick. Ambrose sent Owens to the floor and then followed up with a suicide dive. Del Rio attacked Ambrose, but Ambrose ended up getting the better of him, and then all four men fought on the floor until they were countered out. And so I'm like, all right, maybe we'll still get, you know, that accidental collision with Reigns and Ambrose, something to kind of get us going, what's going on here? Because you can do that and not have it go anywhere if you don't want to turn anyone. You know, you can still have them collide and have the announcers play it up, and then, you know, come Monday, they can just kind of shrug their shoulders like, hey, it happens in a match. No, there's none of that. Afterward, long story short, the heels ended up being cleared from the ring and leaving Reigns and Ambrose to celebrate together. And Ambrose went to the floor and looked at the World Heavyweight Championship that was on that podium next to the broadcast team. Then Reigns followed, and they took turns looking at the title and looking at each other. It was like, oh, God. And then we got another really fake-sounding burst of crowd noise just out of the blue. Because apparently we were all supposed to be really excited that they're looking at a title belt and then looking back at one another. So, I mean, they obviously implied late in the show, but all these weeks and they wait until, what, less than a half hour left in the show to start teasing people with, hey, Reigns and Ambrose could meet in the finals. Wow. Oh, such a strange path WWE took to this. And I realize some of it obviously is due to the Seth Rollins injury. I was very impressed with the way they got off, got the hype started for the Rollins and Reigns match that was scheduled for Survivor Series. Was really looking forward to it. I thought the hype for that was better than anything they did for the previous month's pay-per-view. And we only got a week of it. And then Rollins ended up getting hurt. And so, I mean, I get that they had to make some abrupt moves. They had to, you know, basically book this thing on the fly. But they're used to it. I mean, that's what WWE does. And I know they're short talent and everything else. I just think that even with what they were faced with, they should have been able to come up with a more intriguing tournament, better hype for Survivor Series. Undertaker and Kane against the Wyatts, it certainly wasn't derailed because of anything involving Seth Rollins, and that's been disappointing. They took the gross turn in the Paige and Charlotte match, trying to give it some attention, but then, I mean, it's like, okay, it's in the main event segment on Raw, and then we see Paige doing hype, a fake hype piece for Santa's Little Helper, the movie, or whatever the hell it's called, and then Charlotte just kind of beating Brie Bella. Nothing on SmackDown that was suggests that they feel strong about this, and yeah, this is a big deal. I'm not overly excited about the two of them closing Raw. I still feel like they were forced in there. I want to see the women, feel like they naturally belong there with a great match or something like that. This felt shoehorned. This felt forced. We'll see how it plays out on Sunday. Again, you can join me for live coverage at ProWrestling.net. If you want to do so on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net and hear the exclusive audio content we have available, including yesterday's 90-plus minute .NET Weekly audio show that Will Pruitt and I got together and recorded shortly after TNA announced that they are moving to Pop TV. We talked about that Survivor Series, Ring of Honor, moving to their new network home. And again, all the news of the week was covered yesterday during the .NET Weekly audio show, as it is every week. And then Will also got together with Jake Barnett for their weekly Pretentious Wrestling podcast. It's available to members. So much audio content. And then Jake Barnett and I will be together Sunday night to talk all things Survivor Series coming out of that show. And that is available exclusively to .NET members. Again, on the ad-free version of the site. If you are interested in membership, visit the main page at ProWrestling.net, and you'll find the sign-up area. You can't miss it. It's right there. If you're that oblivious, I don't know what to tell you. But it's right there. Just look a little, and you'll find it. And once you are in the sign-up area, you will see three different pricing options. One for annual, one for 6 months, and one for monthly. If you try the monthly option, just want to get a feel for what we offer on the member side of things, that's cool. $7.50 is your one-month price. You can save some money at 6 months, and you can save the most money by signing up to an annual membership deal. The price breaks down to $5.50 a month if you take that annual option. So just three price points to consider. We would love to have you check out what we do on the member side. All the audio content that's available. You obviously enjoy pro wrestling related audio, or you wouldn't be listening here. So treat yourself heading into the holiday week and with Thanksgiving coming up next week, and enjoy all the perks of membership right there on the ad-free version of the site. There's also a forum where you can correspond with members. The members will be placing their V-Bookie bets on the Survivor Series event, where you can go in and I set the odds and you guys decide who you think is going to win. All in good fun. I'm not running an illegal gambling operation. I wish I was. You'd make a lot of money. But then things like, the whole FanDuel thing and DraftKings, where all of a sudden the government comes after you. So I don't need that hassle. So that's why it's not going to be an illegal gambling operation. But it is for fun, and the members, some of them do take part, and you can do so as well. Again, just visit that sign-up page on the main page at ProWrestling.net. But either way, join me on Sunday night for live coverage of the WWE Survivor Series event. That will be available to everyone, whether it's on the ProWrestling.net website, the free ProWrestling.net apps, the mobile site, however you view ProWrestling.net, it will be available to you. So until then, thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you again very soon. Take care.